Hi guys, welcome to a new year and a new episode of Kwentong Creatives. Before we get started on today's episode, I just want to give a long overdue thank you to all the listeners who've stuck with us through the years. Nung lumabas yung Spotify Wrapped last December, sobrang natuwa ako kasi it was one of those times na nagsasabay lahat ng work and iniisip ko ba kung kaya ko ba talaga ituloy itong podcast na to. And true enough, ang dami nagtag sa amin ng mga listeners in their Spotify Wrapped, and I was really pleasantly surprised to see us in their top 10, top 5, and even top 1 podcast. And these were hundreds of entries. It really just blew my mind. I know I've said it over and over again, but when I make this podcast, I oftentimes get tunnel vision and I get stuck in my own bubble. Hindi ko namamalayan na may mga nakikinig, may mga nakikinabang sa content ng Kwentong Creatives. And it's really been so nice to put faces to our listeners, especially in the KC Community Facebook group. And I love hearing their stories. I love seeing people share their stuff. And we even had an event last year, which I'm planning to do more. So it was really an eventful 2023 for Kwentong Creatives. So again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening to Kwentong Creatives. Dahil pinagkatiwalaan nyo kami, the KC team will strive to put out more interviews and more content this year. And it's always been our goal to give value back to the people who have given their time to the podcast. So hindi nag-iba yun. So again, thanks guys. Hi, I'm Gia Puyat, and this is Kwentong Creatives, a podcast to get to know the stories, strategies, and lessons of Filipino creatives across different fields. Kwentong Creatives is produced by Anima Podcasts. Okay, so for today's episode, I wanted to give a long overdue recap from all the learnings I've gathered in 2023. It's a new year, and I'm sure we've all come from a busy holiday break. The past few weeks have been eventful, but if you're like me, you might have been a bit overwhelmed with stimulus. Kasi ang dami nangyayari, diba? So, nakarami na tayong Christmas party, ng office, a family, tapos may New Year celebration pa. And after all this, you're just left with a void of introspection, diba? Parang nagsabay-sabay lahat ng mga big questions coming into the new year. How are the relationships that you fostered with family and friends? Where were your goals? You know, the goals you made last year, were they met? And should you even be considering new ones? What were the challenges that will be coming up this year? So, medyo overwhelming, diba? With so much coming at us, this begs the question, how can we refocus and recenter before plugging back into our usual cycles? How can we adopt a mindset that primes us for a year of growth? Well, that's what I wanted to do for this episode. Think of it as a guide for people looking for growth in the new year. Tawagan nating the Kwentong Creatives Primer for 2024. These are lessons that resonated with me throughout the year, repeated through conversations with guests or encounters in books or films. Personally, I wanted to revisit all these things anyway. It helps me synthesize all these learnings and take them with me into 2024. So I cut them up into chapters, which you can conveniently skip to if you'd like to return to them in the future. So yeah, let's begin. Okay, so our first chapter is about responding to failure. And I wanted to start with this topic because it's a common theme in a lot of our episodes, right? It's a question I like asking each guest and seeing the variety in which their life experiences help them respond to it. It's a question, what's your favorite failure? So, narinig niyo na to paulit-ulit, no? I love that question because baked within it is a growth mindset. No, it carries the assumption that failed experiences can contain seeds of lessons that could offer value, insight, or wisdom. And in 2023, my monkey brain would constantly remind me of perceived failures. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. May napakulit na inner voice na nag-only replay ng mga cringe moments mo sa buhay. And it's easy to become conditioned to automatically recoil at the prospect of failure. We can get paralyzed and afraid and to even consider the changes that we need to make. So, responding to failure or the prospect of failure is a constant challenge we keep encountering. And the conversation that reminded me to find a solution to that was from the actor and content creator Reb Atadero. he talked on his episode about how to respond to failure and which lens may be useful in perceiving or encountering it.
If you want to be in creatives, mm-hmm. you will fail 90% of the time. You will. Mm-hmm. It's up to you how it's up to you what kind of lens you have with failure. Is it an opportunity to get better, or is it you just wanting to be like, I'm not good enough? Dude, if you're not good enough, if you think you're not good enough, guess what? Somebody trusted you, right? Somebody bet on you. What are you going to do with that information? What are you going to do? They bet on you. You're here now. Only you have the power to create. Only you have the power. It's your role. Eh? Mm-hmm. Somebody can say, I can do that better, but they're not in the show, right? Yeah. You're in the show. You're doing the role. You're hosting the event. You're whatever, right? You're creating the copy. You're creating the visuals. Okay, they can do it better, but they trusted you.
So, yeah, isn't that a great antidote to the fear of failure? If you assume that failure is something that you're going to encounter in your career, then all you need to focus is how to respond to its inevitable arrival. Plus, I like the extra motivation Reb adds on there at the end, especially for creatives who were hired to do a job. Someone trusted you to pull off that job. No? Pinagkatiwalaan ka, na-award sa'yo, ikaw yung kinuhang creative para gawin yung trabaho na yun. And that's a vote of confidence in your favor, which you can use to spark that fire within you. And in the same vein, I also wanted to share a personal mantra, one that I keep coming back to whenever I need to solve problems. It's from Ryan Holiday's book, The Daily Stoic. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that. Where the philosophy of Stoicism can give us the right, quote-unquote, operating system for modern-day life, right? In this case, I really love the quote from the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, who is my favorite Stoic, and he had this to say about facing challenges. While it's true that someone can impede our actions, they can't impede our intentions and our attitudes, which have the power of being conditional and adaptable. That which is an impediment to action is turned into advance action. The obstacle on the path becomes the way. Marcus Aurelius, Meditations. Oh yeah, so wisdom from Marcus Aurelius thousands of years ago. And it's about reframing, right? It's about taking negative circumstances and using it as an opportunity to practice virtue. So, kunwari, stuck in traffic, kabad trip, we're all familiar with that. But you can use this as a chance to practice patience. If a client didn't like the first pass of your work, then it's a chance to grow from feedback. Did you encounter a rude person in a party? It's a chance to practice calm communication. The bottom line is you have the power to derive benefit from any situation because you can choose how to respond to it. Okay, so all of this advice is great internally, yeah? But what if you actually fuck something up? As in major, as in royal fuck up siya. For whatever circumstances outside your control, may malalang nangyari. Well, the value we want to turn to here is accountability. Now, accountability in the face of failure. So let me share with you an excerpt we had from a very fun episode we had last year, which was our live podcast, an open Q&A session with filmmaking professionals. And this is a story from production designer Nina Torres, who shares a horror story from early in her career and how she responded to that.
Parang for a newbie like me, it was like shark-infested waters talaga. I didn't know anything about the industry. Pag may sumabit, ano yan, internal meeting yan pagkatapos. What the fuck happened? How could we be delayed like this? Etc, etc. So, malas lang, my first foray into it, I fell into a house that was cutthroat kong cutthroat. So I learned a lot, but that was one of my biggest lessons. I was like, my first impulse was, ayaw ko na mag-advertising, babalik na lang ako sa indie films, nakakahiya. Diba? Pinapagalitan ako ng assistant director in the middle of the set, in the middle of the shoot. It was incredibly humiliating but because I was so tired, it was 48 hours more, no sleep, parang wala na, zombie na lang ako. So a few days after that, yun, I called the EP and the director and gave them my side but did not, hindi ako nag-ano ng wala akong kasalanan. I accepted responsibility, but also told them may certain factors na kasalanan ng prod house that contributed to the kung bakit sumabit. And the director, hindi na mainit yung ulo niya, he forgave me and he still hired me. I mean, after on. And the EP after that took me aside and told me that she appreciated very much that it's very rare to encounter accountability. Yes. When you fuck up, the norm is
si ano kasi
di sa akin yun eh. Oh.
Okay, maging ganun. So, para,
as a total newbie with no name, that was actually a good move on my part. Diba? Right. I fucked up royally, but I left that EP and that director with a good impression.
Ayan. So, again, accountability. Sa totoo lang, pet peeve ko, hate na hate ko yung mga attitude na nanunuro agad kapag may mali. Ay, kasi si ganyan. Ganyan. Basta learn to own up to your mistakes and people will respect you in the long run for it. And you'll respect yourself for it. And also, as a side note, sobrang nag-enjoy kami dito sa live podcast event and I definitely want to do more events this year. So, stay tuned to our socials for more announcements. Okay, so chapter 2 is about embracing the chaos of creativity. Being stuck in the creative process is something that a lot of us can relate to, no matter what stage you are in life. Now, I've spoken to students, to rock stars, athletes, professionals, and creativity for everyone is really this mysterious force. Now, it's like an energy that ebbs and flows. It's something you can't control. And living our lives as artists or creative professionals can be anxiety-inducing if we don't understand how to deal with the chaos of the creative process. I recalled my episode with Congressman Toff de Venecia, who's an all-around creative, writer, theater actor, painter, and politician. And I really liked his insight into what creativity is.
That's why I always say the future is creative because, you know, creativity is sort of like a cousin of innovation and it's always future-centric. It's always imagining, diba? Your vision boarding, diba? That's the whole essence of creativity, diba? You're creating something that has yet to be created or formed. So it's really future-centric.
So yeah, diba? What a pressure it is to innovate. You get something that has not existed and through your voice, you make it happen. So honestly, how do we deal with all that uncertainty? Let's hear advice from different people on how to tackle what seems like an overwhelming task. First up is multi-awarded photojournalist Hannah Reyes Morales, who talks about what she experiences before going on a new assignment.
In one way, it's a faith. Like, it's faith that you will find it somehow. And I think that, you know, that trust is really hard. Like, it's not like I go into assignments thinking I know what exactly what to do. Every time I have a new story, every time I have a new assignment, you're always afraid that it's really not going to pan out. You know, I'm on two big projects this year, and I'm just, like, freaking out. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And so it takes a lot of almost, like, mystic faith that I've been able to practice because of Catholicism, that things will work out. And they tend to work out for the most part. And when they don't, people don't know what hasn't worked out.
For Hannah, what helps her get through the chaos of creativity is trust in other people. So she gets into a lot of that in our episode. From her coworkers to her friends, may support system talaga siya. And something else that helps her is Catholicism. Whatever you think about organized religion, it's true that belief in a higher power is still a humbling and potent mindset to help you carry on. And one thing I want to add about what Hannah said was this relatable experience of having that self-doubt and that fear at the start of a project and, you know, dealing with that uncertainty. And it's just nice to see every time I talk to these high-performing creatives, pinagdadaanan din pala nila yan. And it's kind of comforting, right? And speaking of wisdom from other creatives, it helps to hear someone else articulate an idea that gives you clarity. So I got this from designer Cookie Santos, who shared with me an excerpt from the writer Anne Lamott. And Anne describes the creative process like this. Writing a novel is like driving a car at night. You can only see as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. You don't have to see where you're going. You don't have to see your destination or everything you will pass along the way. You just have to see 2 or 3 feet ahead of you. This is right up there with the best advice on writing or life that I have ever heard. Anne Lamott, Bird by Bird. That's kind of a useful analogy, right? Next time you're freaking out about not knowing where to go, saan ba pupunta tong project na to, don't worry, it's really part of the process. So take it day by day. You don't have to see the full picture. Just go step by step. Lastly, I want to share this bit from the rock star, singer, songwriter, and actor Juan Carlos. I asked JK if he had any structure in his creative process, and this guy is really an example of someone who just embraces the chaos and plays with it.
Me as a songwriter and me as an artist, I don't have structure. So when it comes to making and creating things, there's no structure in it as well, right? Sometimes I could go on for 3 months without making anything, without coming up with something, without writing anything. And sometimes in 1 week, I could make 50, right? Like, wala. Minsan, uuna yung melodies, tapos susunod yung lyrics. Minsan, susunod yung lyrics. Ay, mauna yung lyrics, susunod yung melodies. Minsan, sabay. I have songs that I completed the whole song in like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And then I have songs that I started making in January, tapos matatapos ng January the next year. Alam mo yun? So like, wala siyang structure at all. So, wala.
Creativity is weird, no? Parang, nagaling siya from somewhere.
It is. Minsan you just kinda... so weird. And in some sort of weird, unexplainable way, I'm not sure if this is explained by science, but at least for me, I'm the most creative when it's like 2 or 3 a.m. It's like the wee hours when everybody's asleep. That's when my mind's awake. So, parang hindi ko siya maintindihan.
Also, it's worth to note that JK is self-aware in how he likes to work, so it really helps to know that. But at the end of the day, being a creative is messy. You know, we only see the finished product on our Instagram feeds, right? We don't see all the hundreds of other drafts that were left in the trash bin. So let's learn to embrace the unsexy parts of the process, right? Adversity is part of the process. Okay, so to wrap up this chapter, I want to bring up probably my favorite book of 2023, and it's a book that I'll be quoting a lot this episode, and that's The Creative Act, A Way of Being by legendary music producer Rick Rubin. It's become something like a creative Bible to me, and it's a gift that I was giving all my artist friends last Christmas. But anyway, I wanted to end this chapter on this reminder from Rick. Aside from embracing the chaos of art, also learn to have fun with it. The making of art is not a competitive act. We're not playing to win. We're playing to play. And ultimately, playing is fun. Perfectionism gets in the way of fun. Active play and experimentation until we're happily surprised is how the best work reveals itself. Rick Rubin, The Creative Act. The third chapter is about finding your voice to make what you want to see. This is a personal one for me, a journey that I've been on up until now. I've sort of been in a search of my own creative voice as an artist, and even calling myself an artist is something that I've had trouble claiming. I've gotten so used to working as a commercial director. It's like being a hired gun filmmaker, no? You're like a craftsman who comes in to adapt a client's message for mass consumption. And through that process, I felt like I kind of missed out on my own creative voice. So naturally, I was drawn to filmmaker friends who managed to tell stories that matter to them in this year's Cinemalaya. And this excerpt is from direct Kev Mayuga, who directed the film When This Is All Over, which actually stars Juan Carlos as well. This is what he said when I asked for advice about finding your voice.
Parang the thing that kept me going was what all the stories have already been told, but no one has told it in your voice. Parang being able to sing it the way that you do is what makes it unique. And to me, that was like, what is the most me thing that I can do that no one else has the balls to do? Yeah, you know, it doesn't have to be the best thing or the newest thing, but what is most me? The thing that kept me going then was Direk Larisse Guillen, who's like the president of Cinemalaya. I went up to her last year when we were announced and I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this film. I'm so scared. And she said, the goal is that at the end of it, you're able to show the film to your friends and say, that's me. This is me. This film is so me. That's all you need to do. And parang, I held on to that. It went down to every little choice that I made with like collaboration and like editing and different the different choices. Parang I just kept in mind that what is the most me thing I can do? That's all I needed to follow, even if I don't think it's the best or even if I don't think it's groundbreaking.
So that's it, right? In a creative industry with trends and movements, it's very tempting to copy and compare your work with others. So sakit natin yan, diba? Especially if we're always scrolling on our feeds and looking at other people's works. But your job as an artist is to find out what resonates within you and create works within your own voice. The goal is not to fit in. If anything, it's to amplify the differences, to find what doesn't fit, to find the special characteristics that are unique to how you see the world. Instead of sounding like others, value your own voice, develop it, cherish it. Rick Rubin, The Creative Act. Another idea that resonated for me was the idea to make what you want to see. I've been making other work for other people for so long that I've forgotten what it was like as a young filmmaker who made comedy sketches, short films, or music videos for fun. And this year, I finally got in touch with that side when I got to make a music video for my band, Nanay Mo. We shot the music video for a single called Stupid, and it was honestly one of the most creatively gratifying projects I had all year. Plus, we had so much fun making it with friends. And this reminds me of what the visual artist and content creator Rocco Ruiz had to say about following that instinct.
Everything's just a remix, especially with pop culture.
Yes, yeah.
Dude, my drawings are mostly pop culture references. Mm-hmm. And I realized yung mga patok ko rin na TikToks and Reels, they're parodies of pop culture. So I do believe nothing's original anymore, but you gotta add your own flavor to it. When I look back at what would I draw without trying to have a style, that's just that, when you're not trying too hard. And it's easy. It's kind of like, ito, lumalabas na naman yung hopeless romantic side ko. Pero it's like falling in love. If you love something, it's not difficult. Like for example, with style, you'll get so obsessed with making it because you're passionate, you won't notice that you did so much hard work without trying. And I think when finding your personal style, just keep doing it and make what you want to see also.
Lastly, I want to end this chapter by taking that lesson in developing your voice to a much wider scope. What if we collectively developed our cultural voice as Filipinos and channeled that into our art? Going back to Congressman Toff de Venecia, he made me excited for a future vision of the Philippines wherein creative industries are championed and our cultural voice becomes a global advantage.
And so that's my challenge, really, to a lot of creators. It's to be able to create from your own personal space what you're seeing in your own backyard. But if you can go deeper than the present and into the past and into our heritage and what is inherently Filipino, you can create something that's even more special, that could stand out even more. Instead of it being something that's commonplace, it's something that becomes special. And that's why I always say na future is creative, but we should not forget our past. Parang we have to be able to find a way to bridge that gap. because that's the only way we can rightfully take our space in the global stage if we celebrate what it truly means to be Filipino.
So, yan, ang ganda na sinabi niya, no? Just seeing voice amplified on a national level. What happens if we lean into that Filipino identity as artists? Chapter 4 is about endurance and longevity. This year, I had creatives share their stories of unexpected success from humble beginnings. The founders of Nobody Clothing would work on their shirts every night until early morning while balancing their corporate jobs. And then you have singer-songwriter Jamie Miller, who was a call center worker for years before being discovered in The Voice UK. And even after that, the hype died down and he still went back to reapply for his corporate job until Khloe Kardashian reposted a video of him and he got signed a week later. Time and time again, we hear the success stories of people who stuck to their craft and eventually made it. But the harsh reality is that for every one person who finds success, there are thousands more that fail. And we all know this. So this is where endurance and longevity come in. I came across this lesson in another favorite book from last year called The Psychology of Money, Timeless Lessons on Wealth, Greed, and Happiness by Morgan Housel. In the book, he underlines the power of time and that the underlying secret to success is surviving long enough to play the game. Time is the most powerful force in investing. It makes little things grow big and big mistakes fade away. And compounding works best when you give a plan years and decades to grow. This is true for savings, but also careers and relationships. Endurance is key. And when you consider our tendency to change who we are over time, balance at every point in your life becomes a strategy to avoid future regret and encourage endurance. Morgan Housel, The Psychology of Money. This focus on endurance became a mantra for me this year, with the intention of finding balance so that I can work at the best state of mind for longer. One of my goals this year was to not only make running a habit, but to actually become a runner. That identity-driven motivation helped me finish a half marathon last November, a distance that I never thought I could do. And after finishing those 21 kilometers, a newly sparked interest in endurance training helped me pick up on some useful tips from guests of the pod. First is from muralist and illustrator Jappy Agoncillo, who is himself a firm believer in the crossover between athletics and creatives. He's a dedicated artist who also boxes, weightlifts, and runs, and he uses all of that to fuel his career motivations.
You're working on yourself, you're doing something you love when you're in your free time. Became ingrained in me. And it's always been part of who I was, where like I saw myself. Not necessarily like I'm an athlete, but I see the way I approach art and the way I approach my career almost the way an athlete would.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, you know, most athletes will be like Kobe always says, I get up at 4 a.m. so that I'm working out before everyone else, so that I know I'm at least doing more than them. Or the way Jordan will be like, if someone's better than me, my perception is I gotta train harder to be better than them. So I thought, okay, I'll do that, but more internal. Like also there, mentally, like if you overcome something you didn't think you could, it helps you get through the rest of your day a little bit better. Like an ice bath. I've heard it time and time again that if you go into an ice bath, you stay in there like 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. I don't know how long you're supposed to, but after that, like if I could do this, I can do anything else today. Like I can do that task I was dreading because I sat in ice for 3 minutes. But it really doesn't dash out. Like just to get out and do something physical, and then going back into the desk and like, if I could run 10 kilometers, I can draw this thing. I can finish this piece, you know?
And by the way, Jappy also mentions ice baths, which I really got into this year. Cold exposure for me was life-changing. And if you noticed, I did talk about it with some guests throughout the year, but more on that next time. Anyway, sports analogies, you know, they're always fun, but I wanted to focus on another aspect of longevity, and it's dealing with the long, grueling process of continuous work. In other words, how does one manage burnout, diba? Or even just the dulling of the creative process over time? And to answer that, here's our very talented guest, Cookie Santos. She's a designer, design lead at Canva Philippines, and a lecturer who shared this about getting into that dreaded autopilot mode.
I tell people this in my talks, na it's when you're on autopilot, where you feel like you're just doing things, and then parang you're just like letting yourself move to get things done. Parang, how do you get yourself lost? Or parang, how do you disorient yourself so that you stop autopiloting? And so parang you're kind of lost, and because of that, parang you're aware again, and you know where you are, and so you're re-navigating like a new path for yourself because you've stopped that autopilot mode. And I think personal work is like that break from autopilot, because you're doing something else, you're taking a different path that doesn't relate to the project, and somehow you get to reorient yourself. So at the time, I've been like enjoying making type. And I was frustrated at the time, so I was just like, okay, let me just do some work here. I won't overthink it. Like, this is my only avenue to be creative, so let's do it. And that's how this Instagram post with, like, take your time existed. And I was so happy with that. I was like, I was satisfied that, oh, this is pretty good. I like it. And then, syempre, I posted it on Instagram, but you know, when you post something, it's just there. So I just left it there. But I think what it's done for me is like it served as a good break. It was kind of a reminder that, oh, okay, I'm kind of reminded that I can make work that I'm happy with. Mm-hmm. That it's not me who's the problem, and it's really just like a series of bad days. And for some reason, it makes your experience like a little bit more comfortable. You're a bit nicer to yourself, and so it kind of helps you go through the difficult stuff, because you know na parang you can hold on to your personal work, and parang that feels me. I haven't lost a part of myself yet, so yeah.
So aminin ko, guilty din ako dyan sa autopilot, especially after long periods of constant work. So what Cookie said is something I actually bookmarked for myself. Okay, so to end this chapter, let's bring back a quote from Rick Rubin, who had this to say about it. Beware of assumption. Challenge your own processes. As soon as you use a label to describe what you're working on, there's a temptation to conform to its rules. It's helpful to continually challenge your own process. If you had a good result using a specific style, method, or working condition, don't assume that that is the best way, or your way, or the only way. Avoid getting religious about it. Rick Rubin, The Creative Act. And lastly, we have chapter 5, which is about being kinder to yourself. I think this is a very important point to end on, because doing the podcast has led me down a path of motivation, best practices, and self-improvement. But I try not to get obsessed about optimization all the time. And it's actually my wife, Abby, who reminds me that it's okay to just chill sometimes. Alam mo yun, hindi pwedeng go, go, go ka lang parate. And with that casual wisdom comes the value of learning to be kinder to yourself. And a lot of the guests, despite being top performers, have shared the same insight. Nicole Alba is a content creator who made a huge name for herself in personal finance with a huge following on YouTube. But she's also very aware of how the content creation machine can chew you up and spit you out, and she shares about how she manages to find that balance.
There was this like post on Facebook I saw like a few months ago that I think it kind of like is related. Yung parang like a lot of people, we tend to default na, have I worked hard enough in order to deserve rest? I don't know if you're familiar with that post, but you should like think about it in like parang, have I given myself enough rest to be able to do the best work that I could? We should actually like think about it like that, because no, in the same way, like if I'm burnt out, if I'm super frustrated, then I'm not gonna be able to produce the work that I want to. But if I'm kinder to myself, if I allow myself to make mistakes, and if I allow myself to explore, and just like that, parang give myself the bandwidth to just like fail and be kinder to myself, then maybe I'm setting myself up for more success to play the longer game. Like, we're so hard on ourselves and we think we need to overwhelm ourselves to be able to deserve rest, to deserve kindness. But really, like, you need those things to be able to operate like a normal human being, healthy relationships and stuff like that.
And next, even singer-songwriter Jada can relate to this. She shares how she stays centered despite an artist's life of songwriting pressure, Spotify metrics, and public scrutiny.
Honestly, if I'm going to be completely transparent with you, over the past couple of months, like, people may not know this, but I've been struggling a lot with mental health, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've gone through some things with my personal life, and I feel like, you know, my songs are also a window into that. What I've been trying to do for myself is just try to go back to the things that I enjoy outside of all of this, like, even just like being a fan of other artists, like SB19, like, I'm a big fan of them, so like me getting into like whatever they're up to as just a fan, like, that keeps me sane. Or just like surrounding myself with people who really understand me and who like me for me. If there's any advice to people, it's like, learn to turn your brain off. Like, before I'm an artist, I'm a human being first. Mm-hmm. And that's like really, really something that I've been trying to remind myself.
And being a human first also means valuing the relationships in your life. A lot of times we can be so driven in our careers that we forget the source of true happiness lies in the people around us. This was a good lesson I got from longtime travel show host Drew Arellano, who famously puts family first.
It's easy for people to fall into that trap of prioritizing career, only to realize that that's not what will make them happy. Maybe people could think about what could actually truly make them happy when they get old na. Work your way back. When you reach a certain age, what would be of value to you? You think it would be the amount of cars, or, you know, you think it would be your status? I think, ako, for me, it would always be, man, when we get old, sana parang the love and respect of our kids are there pa rin. Yun lang. I mean, it's as simple as that, because at the end of the day, that's what we're gonna value. All I'm saying is that don't fall into that trap lang that career is the only thing that will make you happy.
And lastly, I wanna end this chapter on one of my favorite things a guest has said ever. Probably in the top 5. And this is from singer-songwriter Reese Lansangan. We had such a nice talk that this nugget of wisdom just seemed to sprout out of our conversation naturally. She makes a wonderful analogy about how our creative journeys are like seasons, and that you have to find different aspects of life that need your care and attention. So, in other words, find that harmony in your life that allows your garden to grow.
I cannot write anything good anymore. I don't know. Like, yun na yun. Wala na ako ulit nalabas na bago. So, hindi ko alam if I was capable of ever writing anything. Tapos na yung blooming year ako and nalagas na yung, like, wala na, like, naging ground zero na ako ulit. And I couldn't accept that I was just soil at the time. Parang, hindi, kailangan merong flower. Parang, but it took a while for me to realize na hindi. That's not how gardens work. Flowers don't just become flowers out of nowhere. Like, we're always growing. And even in growing, there's also pain in that growth. Because we need to prune ourselves. We need to cut out the parts that are not helping us to face our trauma and our pain. To be able to be open again, fully open again. To all the new experiences that await us. And that's when we fully receive the sun. That's when we fully face the sun and, like, bloom again. And even with the bloom comes the withering part again. the cycle of growth begins again, and you restart and you become soil again, and somebody has to water that. You have to water that, and you have to help your plants flourish. And I'm chasing different dreams right now, probably growing different species of flowers. I can't wait to grow again and bloom again and share it to the world again.
So that was it. A collection of lessons that resonated with me from last year. This was our Kwentong Creatives Primer for 2024, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed revisiting all these conversations. So to encourage all of you on your personal journeys in this 2024 adventure, I also want to end this episode in the dorkiest way possible. So I want to leave us with an excerpt from the Lord of the Rings, a series that I revisited last year as well. When the main protagonist, Frodo Baggins, realizes his fate to carry the burden of the One Ring and face a harrowing journey across Middle-earth, he confesses to his friend, the wise wizard Gandalf, "I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened." Gandalf the Grey responds, "So do all who live to see such times, yet it is not their choice to make. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." So that was it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Good luck sa inyo sa 2024. I hope this was helpful. Please follow us on our socials for more updates for Kwentong Creatives.
You can follow us on Instagram at Kwentong Creatives and on TikTok at kcreatives.geo. Feel free to tag us in your stories with anything you found useful in the episode. We always love hearing from you guys. Also, big thanks to DJ ET the Fourth for our music and Laser Kaluya for our design and branding.